I'm Dr. Dennis Waitley, and welcome to the Ultimate Fitness and Wellness System, the newest program in the Psychology of Winning for Life series. This is the 21st century audio education, behavior modification, and portable coaching system that will help you build a fat-burning, disease-fighting, age-defying body and mind. A statement that you'll hear associated with this breakthrough program is that it's not about losing, it's about winning. This program is not about losing, dieting, deprivation, calorie counting, bathroom scales, weighing foods, packaged foods, miracle foods, or other gimmicks. The Ultimate Fitness and Wellness System is about winning. Winning a healthy, lean, fat-burning body. Winning the war against degenerative disease. Winning against the ravages of premature aging. Winning an energetic mind and body. It's knowledge you can trust about your health and optimum state of wellness. If you follow the advice in this program, you will win. You'll be lean for life. As the former chairman of psychology for the United States Olympic Committee Sports Medicine Council, I'm familiar with the prototype programs that have been used by elite athletes and Olympians. However, this is the only system that I've encountered that makes advanced nutritional science, physical activity, and behavior modification available to you and your loved ones in a total system that you can understand, that you can integrate into your own unique lifestyle, and that will work for you if you'll apply the effort and stick with it. We believe the information in this program, pioneered by myself and Dr. Michael Colgan, and supplemented with an ongoing coaching program, will change forever the way you view nutrition, dieting, and exercise. In the past, they were treated separately. There were the physical fitness buffs and the nutritional advocates, which I call the groaners versus the grazers. The result has been a fitness maze. The dilemma of what to eat, what not to eat, when to eat, and how much to eat has given us indigestion as we've been bombarded by the advertisements and infomercials and tried to sort out a sensible nutrition plan. The confusion of whether to run, pump iron, swim, row, cycle, stair-step, jump rope, dance, or hang upside down like fruit bats, combined with how far, how long, how much, and how often, keep us all on a treadmill of new fad approaches, depending on which TV fitness guru that we're watching, or even Richard Simmons reruns, or advice from a friend we had lunch with yesterday. You know, all of us spend too much time on the cosmetic surface rather than beginning with disciplining the fitness center in our being, our own mind. Wellness or fitness is not a running program, a set of menus, or a self-awareness seminar. Fitness is a science, a dynamic science in action, integrating your mind and body over time. Science has been defined as the organization of knowledge in such a way as to command more of the hidden potential in nature. I talk about wellness as the absence of illness. This, of course, is our ultimate mission. We define fitness as the organization of knowledge in such a way as to master or command more of the hidden potential in you. This album is the organization of the separate elements of the fitness program, nutrition and physical activity, using your mind as the primary conductor so that you can connect the program to you and unlock the hidden potential in you. In the past, scientific approaches to daily living have been a turnoff to the general public because they've been too complex, too loaded with formulas, too many menus, cooking instructions, rigid adherence to routines, calorie counting, and regimens too difficult to follow in today's changing world, where time is scarce, responsibilities are many, and where the urgent always seems to crowd the important out of our lives. We seem to be going in many directions, but nothing seems to be coming together. That's why you need a holistic program, where the whole system creates synergy, in which the total result is much greater than the sum of the individual parts. Everything in your world, your life and your body, is inextricably connected and intertwined. On a grander scale, the atoms, stars, and galaxies, and life itself are remarkably sensitive to the exact form in which the fundamental laws of physics and biology manifest themselves. So sensitive is the balance that the slightest shift in the maestro's orchestration would cause a catastrophic change in the order of the universe. The universe within you is equally as marvelous and interrelated. You have a brain capable of thinking at a rate of 800 words per minute, which can replay events from the past as if they were actually reoccurring, and which can preplay events that have never happened as if they were actually occurring. Your body consists of 10,000 billion cells. Your eyes have 100 million receptors. Your ears contain 24,000 fibers. Your skeleton is composed of 200 bones, which are the framework for 500 muscles, 7 miles of nerve fiber, and 60,000 miles of blood vessels, which lead to a heart that pumps more than 1,600 gallons of blood through them every day. Disrupt the fragile balance within your body with poor nutritional habits, a sedentary lifestyle, and negative thought patterns, and the result will be disorder, disease, and emotional discord. But apply the dynamically balanced organization of the principles in this program of good nutrition, proper physical activity, and effective behavior, and the results will be better health, high performance, and increased longevity. We'll repeat our motto again. Wellness is not about losing, it's about winning. Diets, as the public has come to know them, don't work. That's why they're referred to as yo-yo diets. Your weight goes down rapidly and comes back up, as if it were on a revolving string. A diet is something people do for a while until it works, until it fails, or until they get tired of it. People become overweight for two major reasons. First, their genetic makeup turns extra calories into fat more readily than other individuals. And second, they eat significant amounts of high-fat food, and they get too little physical activity. In today's society, the burger pizza video syndrome combines poor nutrition with a sedentary lifestyle to foster an out-of-shape and nutritionally at-risk population. Commercial media bombard our senses with beautiful role models impossible to emulate, and our self-esteem suffers as we binge and purge ourselves on fad diets and magic notions, potions, and lotions predestined to failure. What most people don't realize is that our body weight is controlled by a kind of thermostat in our brain. After years of eating and lifestyle habits, we develop a comfort zone or set point in body mass and weight that is maintained automatically. People don't deliberately try to remain overweight. It comes naturally. Much as a thermostat runs our home heating and cooling system, the body's hypothalamus, a tiny organ in the brain, controls the degree of body fatness that our bodies literally grow comfortable with. Our bodies can sense and adjust both the rate at which we burn calories at rest and the amount we eat. Early in our lives, this stubborn fat thermostat is set by our genetic makeup, general eating habits, and levels of physical activity. When we attempt to lose body fat solely by calorie intake restriction, our thermostat automatically reduces the number of calories burned. A drop of 500 calories a day in intake will be met by a corresponding drop in calories burned at rest. The net result? You're eating less, but burning less, and the body fat still taunts you. Conversely, when you gain small amounts of fat or simply turn up your caloric intake for several days, the body responds by turning up the thermostat, and the metabolic rate of calorie burning rises. You're eating more but burning more, and your weight remains fairly stable. This accounts for those people that we love to hate, those with the wiry bodies who eat everything and claim they never exercise but never gain weight, whereas people like me gain weight just thinking about deep dish apple pie and Haagen-Dazs ice cream. A study demonstrating the evidence of body intelligence related to calorie intake was done by the University of Pennsylvania Laboratory of psychiatrist Henry Jordan. Colleague Teresa Spiegel slowly adapted her volunteer group to a diet consisting of a milkshake-like diet drink. Over the course of several days, her subjects came to obtain their sum total of daily calories, about 3,000, from a stainless steel nipple connected to reservoirs of flavored liquid. Without informing her volunteers, Spiegel then cut the caloric concentration of the mix in half. The solution was adjusted for taste and texture, and few in the group noticed any change. Incredibly, though, the amounts of liquid consumed by the subjects rose significantly and steadily. Within the space of several days, the volunteers were drinking twice as much of the drink without realizing what they were doing, so they could obtain the same number of calories as they did before the drink was diluted. Obviously, some physiological feedback mechanism sensed the reduction in calories and was able to make a subconscious adjustment in behavior to compensate. Recent trends in obesity research point out that the body's weight control system is far more complicated than was ever imagined. Weight control requires a total approach: nutrition, physical activity, and behavior modification. The only safe, effective, and long-term method of weight control is the one dictated by the laws of thermodynamics. If over time, energy expenditure exceeds energy intake, you will lose body fat and weight. This requires behavior and lifestyle modification. Think of your mind as your most important digestive organ. If you put junk food into your mind, you'll be malnourished. If you put positive, balanced thoughts into your mind, you'll have a healthier mind and body as a result. How is it that Americans have been dieting steadily for over 40 years and have gained about 10 pounds per person in the process? The reasons are poor nutritional habits, a couch potato lifestyle, and behavior patterns based on immediate sensual gratification. We've been into quick fixes instead of long-term solutions. That is, until now. Eating is and always has been the great pacifier, the prime substitute for real success. From infancy on, we've been trained to stuff something into our mouths to overcome frustration. The fad diet syndrome is a vicious negative cycle that is doomed to failure. When we're on a diet, we feel noble but deprived. When we go off the diet, and we invariably do, we feel relieved but terribly guilty. The guilt keeps our self-image low, and our performance level plunges to meet the lower self-image. Poor nutrition, a sedentary lifestyle, and the resulting overweight, out-of-shape syndrome are habit disorders. What you are about to learn will give you the habit of winning, so you won't have to think about losing. I can't think of a more appropriate popular figure who has exemplified the challenge of lifestyle change than Oprah Winfrey. As you probably know, Oprah struggled with concerns about her weight and shared her experiences with the viewing public. One of her worst obstacles was her love of fried foods, which tended to broaden her waistline and certainly didn't help the blood flow through her arteries. To counter her bad eating behavior, she would go on crash diets, none of which really worked for her. At one point, she tried a liquid diet that resulted in a loss of over 60 pounds. You may recall the show where she pulled a wagon piled with animal fat onto the stage to illustrate the weight that she had lost, and yet, as in virtually all diets of this kind, she soon regained the weight that she had lost. Oprah was caught up in a cycle based more on her subconscious habit patterns than merely her lifestyle. Like so many others who alternated between weight gain and loss, she tried to cure her surface wounds with a Band-Aid instead of tending to the deeper hurts. It wasn't until she wrote her autobiography that she was able to face her past and learn how to put it into proper perspective. As she said in an article in Ebony magazine, as she peeled away the layers of her life, she realized that all her pain and difficulties stemmed from her not valuing herself. She had always been overly concerned about what others would think of her, and that she wouldn't measure up to their expectations. As she began to feel better about herself and not measure her worth by others' opinions, she began to change her behavior. She learned good habits such as proper nutrition, moderation, and a regular exercise regimen. With the help of a personal trainer, she began to work out twice a day for 45 minutes and initiated a running program. She now works out daily and even runs marathons. She has learned to approach her eating as a habit based on healthy choice. So far, she's lost over 50 pounds and is looking healthier and happier. Her television program, which more and more emphasizes winning instead of losing lifestyles, is a reflection of her own transformation. This program can give you the same kind of transformation. If you give it the commitment, it will give you the change for the rest of your life. Wellness is a state of being that is always in perpetual motion. Wellness is not a static term. You never arrive at a state of wellness. It's always in transition. Cells are transformed inside your body every moment of your life. Your heart is always pumping. It never rests. The brain is always active, even in the deepest sleep or under anesthesia. The mind is either remembering, examining, imagining, or deciding. It is never without a thought. Wellness is a lifelong journey, not a destination or arrival point. Many in society view life as a daily grind, like a perpetual treadmill, with fleeting moments of relaxation, joy, tragedy, and excitement to break the routine. To others, life is a hectic, out-of-control race from birth to the finish line, up toward the top of an unknown mountain with only a vague idea of why or how to climb, never really understanding what's on top, and too busy with the frantic pace to pause and rest and enjoy the view. To you and me, life is an incredible journey into improving the quality of all living things and persons with whom we come in contact. We're here to learn as much as we can, to experience as much as we can, to give as much as we can, to serve our fellow men and women as much as we can, to enjoy and protect our natural environment as much as we can, to nourish and cherish the children of the world who inherit the future as much as we can, and to laugh and play as much as we can, to love one another as much as we can, as honestly, enthusiastically, and for as long as we possibly can. Wellness is knowing this, believing this, and doing this every day of our lives. So let's get started on this fascinating inner journey into the psychology of winning for life's newest breakthrough program, the Ultimate Fitness and Wellness System. I know you'll never be the same once you apply these principles to your own life. They say you can fool all of the people some of the time and some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. Up until now, I'm not so sure we all haven't been fooled all of the time about the path to authentic fitness and wellness. Let's take a look at some of the most prevalent myths about health and apply the truth detector test to them. Myth number one, Americans are becoming more lean and fit as we enter the new century. The truth, Americans are getting fatter every year. During the past several decades, the average weight of American women aged 18 to 74 has increased by 4 pounds, and the average weight of American men in the same age range has increased by 6 pounds. We're getting wider instead of taller. And according to recent studies released by the National Institutes of Health, young adults are getting fattest of all. Males and females in the 25 to 30 age group are now 10 pounds heavier than the same age group was in 1986. And what about their kids? Will they be called baby blubbers instead of boomers? Myth number two, fat people eat too much. The truth? The opposite is true. Fat people have maladapted to their reduced activity level and frequently eat less than their lean counterparts. Myth number three, I inherited a fat body and therefore am a permanent victim. The truth? You can recondition your mind to learn new healthy habits that will help you compensate for your genes. There are some people who do have metabolic problems. However, most people are overweight because of compulsive behavior resulting in poor eating and sedentary lifestyle habits. The recommendations in this program can help adjust your metabolism. Myth number four, eating fewer meals will help me lose weight. The truth? Again, the opposite is true. Research has clearly shown the weight control benefits of smaller and more frequent meals. As you'll discover throughout this program, it's better to eat 5 times a day or 3 nutritious fat-free meals per day with 2 nutritious snacks than to skip a meal. Myth number five, snacking between meals makes you fat. The truth? Here's some good news. Intelligent between-meal snacks can effectively stabilize hunger, add nutritional benefit, and make adherence to a fat-free dietary regimen easier. Fresh fruits and vegetables, of course, are the top choices for snacks. Myth number 6. Just give me a diet pill and forget about the exercise and mind games. The truth? Suppressing hunger is just one element. Behavior, nutrition, and physical activity are more important for long-term success. Myth number 7. I must count calories to lose weight. The truth? The caloric values of foods you eat and the activities you perform vary too widely to make calorie counting effective. Balanced variety in food selection and physical activity are the keys to weight control. Myth number 8. What about the exercise craze sweeping the country? The truth? What exercise craze? It's just an infomercial and marketing ploy. After a 10-year study, the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta report that only 8% of adults aged 18 to 65 do any regular exercise, meaning 20 minutes or more of vigorous exercise 3 or more times a week. Hey, couch potatoism is on a roll, even among the young and presumably vigorous. The latest survey of students in all 50 states shows that only 37% do any regular exercise. That's an incredible decline from the 62% that exercise regularly in the 1980s. Myth number 9. I hear there are new miracle notions, potions, and lotions. The truth? Nearly all slimming aids are bogus. Thinking of trying an anti-cellulite cream? Think again. You can't remove a molecule of fat under the skin with creams or lotions applied on top of the skin unless they contain a drug that penetrates the dermis to reach the fat underneath. All skin-penetrating drugs of any efficacy are controlled prescription substances. So all the cellulite creams together can't shift a single fatty ounce. For more on these myths, read Dr. Colgan's Personal Guide to Optimum Health, The New Nutrition, Medicine for the Millennium. What about the new so-called thigh cream and the woman who lost an inch of thigh circumference by rubbing the cream in every day for 5 weeks? Well, try rubbing Philadelphia cream cheese on your thighs instead. It's better than eating it. Vigorous massage only temporarily reduces thigh water content, but not fat. Grapefruit pills won't work either. Herbal teas are mainly diuretic. Artificial sweeteners don't curb your appetite for calories. Your tongue will search for them elsewhere with the help of your mind. Forget about the rubber sweatsuits, seaweed wraps, electronic muscle stimulators, bulking agents, starch blockers, spirulina, bee pollen, and rhinoceros horn. They're placebos at best, and at worst, they're false witnesses in the search for immediate gratification. Our plea for you is to get real and get smart. Learn to be lean for the long term. Stop looking for magic cures and silver bullets. Myth number 10. We get all the vitamins we need eating 3 meals a day. Aren't supplements just expensive add-on options? The truth? Government studies have revealed huge dietary deficiencies in the average American eating routine. 1 in every 2 women had insufficient calcium. 60% showed at least one symptom of malnutrition regardless of income level. In Michigan, for example, more than half the men and women tested were deficient in folic acid. In Texas and Washington, 1 in every 4 men and 1 in every 3 women were deficient in vitamin A. In Southern California, 1 in 3 persons was deficient in vitamin B2. There seems to be no Shangri-La in the United States where nutritional supplements are not warranted. Also, there is compelling mainstream medical research evidence that oxidative stress, caused mainly by pollution, radiation from the sun, poor eating habits, and smoking, is a major factor in degenerative diseases like cancer, cardiovascular disease, adult-onset diabetes, and others. We need more antioxidants than our foods can supply to battle the free radicals caused by oxidative stress in today's environment. These are best provided by nutritional supplements. Myth number 11. You've seen one multivitamin product and you've seen them all. The truth? The majority of multivitamins are woefully inadequate. In a recent study at Yale New Haven Hospital, researchers evaluated all common brands of vitamins bought off the shelf at a wide range of stores. Many were made with the wrong ratios of nutrients to each other, or contained too little of the more expensive nutrients, or were missing some nutrients altogether. Of the 257 vitamin products tested, only 49 were judged to be adequate. Myth number 12. Physical activity doesn't burn enough calories to make a difference. The truth? Regular physical activity elevates metabolism both in the short run, for hours after you exercise, and in the long run, by creating permanent changes in the basal metabolic rate. The result is that more calories are continually being burned, even when you're at rest. Confirmed exercise haters revel in the thought that it takes about 12 hours walking to burn 1 pound of fat. There are 3,500 calories in a pound of fat. Cycling can burn 500 calories an hour, so the cynics say that you only have to ride a bike for 7 hours to burn a pound of fat. That's why you never see a fat person on a bicycle. Running burns about 1,000 calories an hour, so you need 3 hours or more running to burn a pound of fat. What about making love? About 400 calories an hour, but before you get too excited about that, remember what it means realistically. Figure about 13 calories for the breathtaking but brief experience. But seriously, let's say that you walked briskly each morning for 30 minutes 7 days a week. That's 700 calories. In 5 weeks, 3,500. That's a pound. In 50 weeks, you can lose 10 pounds just taking a brisk walk every morning. The value of physical activity in weight control and fitness could not be clearer, which we'll cover in more depth later in the program. Myth number 13. You can spot reduce any area of the body through intense and focused exercise. The truth? While the muscles underlying a cosmetically bothersome region like your abdomen or thighs may tone or grow with exercise, fat will not be preferentially burned from those areas. The body breaks down fat from genetically programmed areas, not where you exercise. Myth number 14. Protein is the most important energy source in fitness and athletic conditioning. Therefore, steak is a must for every training table. The truth? The body's main priority is the requirement for energy. Protein functions as an energy source only when insufficient fat and carbohydrates are eaten. As you may know, human beings are designed more as herbivorous beings, that is, plant-eating. Carnivores or meat-eaters are built differently. Carnivores have a head full of canine teeth. We've only got 4. We also have molars and incisors for cutting and chewing plant food. Carnivores, the meat-eating animals, have very short intestines. They grab a lump of meat, rip it into pieces, and swallow it without much chewing. Humans have intestines that are very long, designed to digest plant food. That's why we need to limit drastically our intake of red meat. It's loaded with fat, difficult to digest, and is linked with colon cancer, among other health problems. Myth number 15. High-protein, low-carbohydrate diets are more effective because they force the body to burn fat as fuel. The truth? This is one myth that has fooled most of the people all of the time. People who want to lose weight know they need to avoid fat, and they think they need to avoid carbohydrates as well. That leaves protein. Everybody loves protein. We advertise many of our cosmetic products as having protein added. So the most popular diets are high protein, which usually means high in meat content. Meats in America are very high in fat content, which is why they taste so good. The more expensive the steak, the more intramuscular fat it has. Because of this, many high-protein diets are higher in calories per bite than high-carbohydrate diets. Weight loss does occur because the fat in food slows digestion, so you feel satisfied with less food. Another reason is that high-protein diets cause loss of body water. Later, your body reabsorbs the water and you regain that portion of your weight loss. But the real problem with high-protein, high-fat, low-carbohydrate diets is that they can produce muscle loss and degeneration of muscle tone and efficiency. It's possible to lose as much as 1 pound of muscle for every pound of fat lost on this type of diet. Myth number 16. Since fluids are so important to my well-being, I can take them in any form, soft drinks, coffee, tea, and so forth. The truth? Only clear water contains no caffeine, no coloring, no additives, and no refined sugar. Occasional intake of other fluids is okay, but water is the number one choice, and make sure the water you drink is properly filtered, bottled, or distilled. Myth 17. Cold beverages are dangerous when exercising in the heat. The truth? The opposite is actually the case. Cold fluids are absorbed far more rapidly than warmer ones and therefore reduce the chances of heat disorders from dehydration. Myth number 18. Fat people are happier. The truth? Fit people are happier. Many fat people feel rejected and embarrassed. Many are eating to compensate for some pain, loss, or abuse. Many underweight people also worry about their appearance. People who accept themselves as imperfect but changing and improving are the happiest. Also, individuals who are physically fit are more optimistic. They may produce more natural opiates called endorphins in their brains, giving them a natural high. Myth 19. I eat like a bird, but still gain weight. The truth? If you ate like a bird, you'd consume more than 2 times your weight in food every day. Birds eat almost all day long. They exercise a lot as well. The best thing about birds' diet habits is that most of them concentrate on whole grain or fiber-rich food. Myth number 20. Fat people are neurotic. The truth? Given the famous Rorschach test, groups of overweight people cannot be reliably distinguished from groups of normal weight individuals. Slim is a national obsession. During the past decade, we've spent more trying to become slim, about $36 billion a year, than we spent on the total fight against crime in the United States, about $31 billion a year. The weight loss industry would like us all to feel neurotic, so we'll spend more money trying to look good than trying to feel safe and secure. Overweight people, however, do tend to use eating to compensate for depression and anxiety. Fit people use physical activity to counter depression and anxiety. And myth number 21, that we must shatter as we enter the 21st century, I can't control my eating habits. The truth is, you can control your eating, smoking, sleeping, work, physical activity, and lifestyle habits. Behavior is learned. By using the techniques in this program to change your self-image, you'll also be able to change your set point for health and fitness. Through the knowledge you'll gain in this total systems approach, you'll have the database, the motivation, the simulation skills, the positive self-talk, the goals, and the self-confidence to develop lifelong positive habits that will lead you to a new state of wellness. Think of yourself as a work in progress. Consider me as one of your personal mental fitness trainers. I'll act as a reinforcing coach whose mission is to help you achieve your goals. In my work, I've learned about coaching and what it takes to motivate people from some of the best in the business. Studying great champion motivators like John Wooden, former head basketball coach at UCLA, and my friend Rick Pitino, former coach of the NBA Boston Celtics, and Don Shula, the former head coach of the Miami Dolphins. They all taught me how to earn the devotion and cooperation of others. In my career as chairman of psychology for the Olympics, I've helped Olympic athletes from a wide variety of backgrounds and abilities perform their best under intense and highly stressful circumstances. After studying simulation techniques of Apollo astronauts and of returning POWs from Vietnam, I became convinced that success is largely dependent on attitude and training. I believe that attitude and training can unlock many doors blocking emotional and physical health. Now, as one of your personal coaches, I'm going to introduce you to the concepts and mental training used by world-class peak performers. You'll notice that very little emphasis is placed on dieting and weight loss formulas. It's about gaining the mindset of a champion. The next message will start your transformation as we take this inner journey together into the ultimate fitness and wellness system. Remember, this program is not about losing. It's about winning for life. So congratulations for taking the action that will set you free to become all you can be. The Ultimate Fitness and Wellness System is your new habit. Winning and losing are both learned habits, and habits are reflex actions. One amazing revelation that will strike you as astounding throughout this program is that we will talk very little about losing weight and dieting. This is not a diet program, not a program on weight loss. It's about changing your behavior over time from unhealthy and overweight to healthy and lean. Of course we're concerned about your concern about weight, but weight isn't the main event. It's only a single issue, the tip of the iceberg. So you're not going to hear about weighing in, counting calories, all kinds of recipes, and hundreds of good and bad foods. You see, food is not the issue. If it were, then diets would be the answer. The issue is taking control of your responses, managing your beliefs, changing your perceptions, images and role models, learning new effective life management strategies, and layering them over your old behaviors to make winning a lean lifestyle your new permanent habit. Listen to this familiar biography. You may know me. I'm your constant companion. I'm your greatest helper. I'm your heaviest burden. I'll push you onward or drag you down to failure. I'm at your command. Half of the tasks you do might as well be turned over to me. I'm able to do them quickly, and I'm able to do them the same every time, if that's what you want. I'm easily managed. All you've got to do is be firm with me. Show me exactly how you want it done. After a few lessons, I'll do it automatically. I'm the servant of all great men and women, and of course the servant of all the failures as well. I've made all the great winners who've ever been great, and I've made all the losers, too. But I work with all the precision of a marvelous computer with the intelligence of a human being. You may run me for profit, or you may run me to ruin. It makes no difference to me. Take me. Be easy with me, and I'll destroy you. Be firm with me, and I'll put the world at your feet. Who am I? Why, I'm habit. The power of habit is your greatest force for success. We all first make our habits, then our habits make us. And it happens so subtly over time, imperceptibly, quietly, beneath the notice of anyone. Habits are like submarines. They run silent and deep. The chains of our habits are usually too small to be recognized until they're too strong to be broken. First, we observe the behaviors of relatives, friends, or role models. Then we imitate that behavior. Then we repeat and internalize the behavior, and the idea, notion, act, or belief grows layer upon layer from a flimsy cobweb into an unbreakable cable to strengthen or shackle our lives. Unfortunately, bad habits take no holidays. There's no thank God it's Friday for these mindless routines. Instead, like comfortable beds, they're easy to fall into, but hard to get out of. One thing is certain. If we don't master our habits will master us. When we allow unhealthy habits to be our guide and counsel, we give up control of our actions and find ourselves at the mercy of that blind giant in the subconscious level of our minds, who calls the shots without any concern for our well-being. However, when we begin to deal with the attitudes and actions that bind us, we give ourselves permission to take control and to build new habit patterns that help us perform up to our ultimate potential. There's a critical difference between knowing something and learning how to make it a part of our everyday game plan. The secret is repetition. Repetition, repetition. Repetition creates habit. Habit becomes conviction. Conviction controls action. Right now in this instant, You're engaged in one of the best habits of all, that of listening to information that will benefit you rather than frustrate and defeat you. The repeated listening to audio tapes to help form positive self-management skills has helped thousands of individuals all over the world achieve their goals and become uncommonly successful. I know firsthand, because my own success patterns were formed while listening to the early works of my friends and mentors, Earl Nightingale, Carl Rogers, Maxwell Maltz, and other pioneers in the fields of personal growth. I've received over 100,000 letters during the past 20 years, giving credit to the repeated listening of my Psychology of Winning audio album for dramatic life changes in individuals' lives. I've received only a few hundred letters stating that one of my keynote lectures has had a lasting impact. Advertising executives on Madison Avenue bet their entire careers and their clients' enormous budgets on the fact that repeated messages cause subconscious decisions. Every Saturday morning, they teach our kids which brands of cereal they should eat, what kinds of shoes are cool, and which video games, CDs, software, footwear, and toys they should get their parents to buy. While our brain receives hundreds and hopefully thousands of positive inputs each day, it seems that we lock in most aggressively on those that are negative. But the good news is, you can change your life by changing your habits. Psychologists have now done scores of scientifically validated studies to find how habits are formed. We now know how to track a habit from the time the sensory nerves carry the message from our hearing, touch, vision, taste, and smell to the data processing areas of our brains. The brain then makes a decision based on this information and immediately sends the working order through the motor nerves to the appropriate parts of the body demanding action. It should then come as no surprise that after the body responds the same way to identical stimuli 25 or 30 times, a habit is formed. And here's the most interesting part. Because of this repetition, the message from the sensory nerve learns to jump over to the conditioned motor nerve without a conscious decision by the brain. Think about it. Only 25 or 30 repeats for a habit to be formed, and it becomes like a software program installed in the hard drive of our computers. We don't think about it. We just run the program. While it seems more difficult to replace a bad habit with a good one, I'm pleased to report that the development of good habits enjoys the same precise mathematical formulas. It depends on input, practice, and supporting environment. There are four ideas that I call the four cornerstones of change. Understanding these four concepts will help you understand the right way to develop healthy habits. Number one, no one else can change you. You must first admit the need for change, give up any denial of your role in the problem, and take full responsibility for changing yourself. You must also understand that you can't change anyone else either. You can influence and inspire others as a mentor, but they as individuals are ultimately responsible for gaining new inputs, practicing them, and surrounding themselves with a team of positive supporters. Cornerstone number two. Habits are not broken. They're replaced by layering new behavior patterns on top of the old ones over time. Since many habits have been internalized for years, it's foolish to assume that 3 or 4 weeks of training will override the old destructive patterns. To change any habit, including substance abuse, self-ridicule, eating disorders, and other destructive lifestyles, forget about the 30-day wonder cures, the 60-day diet delights, and the get-fit, get-rich-quick fads. Give yourself about a year to internalize permanent change. Be patient. It took a number of years of observation, imitation, and repetition for you to pick up and store your current habits. Number three, a daily routine adhered to over time will become second nature, like brushing your teeth or driving your car. Continue to practice your mistakes on the golf driving range, you'll remain a high handicap duffer. Learn from a professional and then practice the correct swing with each club as demonstrated by the pro, and you'll become the pride of your foursome. Practice makes permanent. Practicing negative behaviors leads to a losing lifestyle. Practicing positive behaviors leads to a winning lifestyle. It's so obvious, it's often completely overlooked, especially by the entertainment and news media, who help form our basic opinions on how the world works. Have you heard about the experiment with mice and the supermarket diet? I read about it in a marvelous book called People Who Lose Weight Permanently by Dr. Gregory Jantz. I'm sure you can guess what the supermarket diet was. Foods with high fat, cookies, butter, ice cream, sugar-flavored breakfast cereal, peanut butter, processed foods such as salami and bologna, white bread, cheeses, nachos, Doritos, all those foods that taste so good but also guarantee maximum weight gain. Here's the interesting thing about the experiment with the mice. Each one received carefully controlled portions of the supermarket diet, not huge amounts. In other words, the mice were not bingers or gluttons. They didn't overeat. And still they got enormously fat because they ate consistent, habitual amounts of the wrong kinds of food. If they had eaten the same amounts of the right kinds of food, they would have remained healthy and slender. The question is, why do we do what we do when we know what we know? We know about healthy food, exercise, and positive attitudes, yet we starve ourselves and resort to extreme attempts to get thin, and the vicious roller coaster cycle continues. The reason we do what we do when we know what we know is that we behave not according to our knowledge. We behave according to what we've learned and no longer think about. We live by reflex habits that are subconscious and hidden from view. You cannot erase any thought, experience, or habit. You can only replace them by flooding your mind with the desired behaviors. The more we try to suppress or forget about unwanted thoughts, the more likely we are to become preoccupied with them. Psychologist David M. Wegner and his colleagues told a group of college students not to think about white bears. He then asked them to dictate their ongoing thoughts into a tape recorder and ring a bell each time a white bear came to mind. Not thinking about white bears proved difficult for the students. They rang the bell or mentioned the bear more than once a minute during a 5-minute session. This proved why it's so difficult to get rid of unwanted attitudes. In trying not to think about a white bear, the researchers explain we must first think about it. The researchers repeated the experiment, but this time told another group of students to think about a red Volkswagen if they happened to think of a white bear. Using a single substitute thought worked. It helped the students avoid thinking of the dreaded white bear. When your worries or fears beg for attention, don't try to erase them from your mind. Replace them with thoughts of the rewards of success, which for you may be a red Ferrari instead of a red Volkswagen, or a satisfied client, or a goal achieved. The greatest coaches of the greatest teams, the greatest parents of the greatest kids, and the greatest leaders of the greatest companies and countries use the same basic techniques: explanation, demonstration, correction, repetition, and affirmation. Remember, the idea is to replace habits, not to try to erase them. And cornerstone number 4, once you change a habit, stay away from the old destructive environment. The reason most criminals return to prison is that they make the mistake of returning to their old neighborhoods and their old friends when they're paroled the first time. No matter how much they've regretted their actions while in prison and want to go straight, they're easily dragged back into their old ways by exposure to the negative environment. When dieters reach their desired weight, they usually go back to their former eating routines because their new behavior patterns haven't been embedded long enough to make them strong enough to pass by the dessert section of the buffet. Overweight individuals and dieters should stay away from buffet lines. If you want to stay optimistic and successful, you must hang out in success-related environments. As we close this message, here are 6 key points to ponder. First, we make our habits, than our habits make us. The chains of habits are too small to be felt until they're too strong to be broken. Second, much of television and entertainment is a growing ground for destructive habits. Third, children's habits are a reflection of significant adults in their lives. They're unaware that habits are being formed. Four, although most change comes from inner core convictions, it's possible for external environments having a consistent flow of new positive inputs to create new habits and lifestyles. Five, many habit patterns give way to former destructive habit patterns because the individual attempts to become a new person in the same old environment. And six, habits don't discriminate. They're the masters of every failure and the servants of every leader who has ever lived. If, as we said in the beginning, it takes only 25 or 30 repeats to form a new habit, then why does making it permanent require at least a year of practice? The reason is the old patterns remain underneath. If you slip back, even if you think about your past mistakes a lot, a link immediately recalls and tries to reassert the old habits. Here are some action tips for positive habit formation. First, identify your bad habits. When and where and why did you learn and develop them? Are you unconsciously imitating peers or negative role models? Do you use them to cover fear or feelings of inadequacy, emotions that would cause you to seek false comfort in tension relieving instead of goal achieving activities? 2. Learn what triggers your bad habits. Identifying your unwanted patterns makes replacing them easier, beginning with the triggers, which are often stress, criticism, guilt, or feelings of rejection. Identify the situations that cause you the most frustration and tension, and plan ways to avoid and reduce them as much as possible. 3. List the benefits of a new habit that would replace the old one. Self-esteem, improved health, longevity, improved relationships, more professional productivity and respect, better focus, enhanced promotion potential, accelerated financial security, each helps lead to our ultimate goal of lifelong improvement and growth. 4. Say farewell forever to excuses for mistakes and failures. Accept your imperfection when an old habit begs for attention. Instead of saying, "There I go again," say, "Next time I'll be strong enough to do what's right." Instead of thinking, "I'm too tired," say, "I've got the energy to do this and more," and change "it's too late" to "as soon as I get organized, I know I'll have the time." And 5, visualize yourself in the new habit patterns of a positive new lifestyle. It takes many simulations and repetitions to spin new cobwebs on top of your old cables. If you want to give up smoking, intentionally sit in non-smoking areas and request non-smoking hotel rooms. Substitute certs or breath mints when the craving reminds you to reach for a pack. When you catch yourself reverting to an old negative habit pattern, simply dust yourself off, state a positive affirmation such as, "That's not like me, I'm better than that, and I can get back in the success groove." Expect to do better next time. No harsh words or recriminations are going to help you move toward your goals. Only a supportive, optimistic approach toward success will take you where you want to go. In his book, Optimism, The Biology of Hope, Dr. Lionel Tiger makes a strong case for the possibility of a brain function that's responsible for creating good feelings about the present and the future. Dr. Tiger suggests that we've developed this capability in our internal pharmacy ever since prehistoric times when, as hunters, we optimistically entertained the idea of a successful hunt and sufficient food to last through the cold winter months. He says that people who are pessimistic, depressed, or dependent tend to look to external means in an attempt to cure their frustrations, eating mega doses of sweets, consuming too much alcohol, taking too many vacations, taking feel-good drugs, going on shopping sprees, making too many appointments with psychiatrists or interior decorators, or choosing just to party, 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 rather than rely on their built-in capability to anticipate a bright future. If you find the source of your bad habits rooted in a pessimistic view of life, you need to change your environment, which will help you change your outlook. Congregate with optimistic, successful individuals. Read biographies of people who've overcome tremendous odds to win. Volunteer to serve in a community project for people more needy than you are. Whenever I feel moody, I visit a children's hospital ward or orphanage, or visit a senior citizen's rest home to brighten up their lives. When I substitute thinking about my own problems with actions that help others solve their problems, I gain a new sense of purpose, meaning, and inspiration for being alive. If being around individuals with problems bothers you, then congregate with children who are playing. When I'm around young children laughing, singing, playing, and imagining, I realize how foolish it is to hang on to negative thinking in a world where childhood is as fleeting as life itself, and how all of us are spending time with no chance to replay or save time already spent. Now let's review the four cornerstone rules of change so they stay with you long after this tape stops playing. Keep these rules playing in your mind. Rule one, no one can change you and you can't change anyone else. You must admit your need, stop denying your problem, and accept responsibility for changing yourself. Rule two, habits aren't broken, but replaced by layering new behavior patterns on top of the old ones. To change a habit, forget about the 30-day wonder cures. Internalizing permanent change requires a change in culture as well as structure, and will take a year at the minimum. Rule number three, a daily routine adhered to over time will become second nature, like brushing your teeth or driving your car. Negative behavior leads to a losing lifestyle, positive behavior to a winning lifestyle. Practice makes permanent in both cases. This point is so obvious that we said it's often completely overlooked. If you do it right in drill, you'll do it right in life. Keep training without complaining. Keep training and sustaining without complaining. Losers engage in pleasurable activities with no particular result in mind. We call this instant gratification. Winners choose activities that will give them long-term positive results. That's delayed gratification. Delayed gratification is perhaps the most difficult concept to teach people in America today, but it's really what separates champions from also-rans. It's the reason immigrants are often able to succeed when they arrive in this country. They're willing to work at doing things the majority of the population are not willing to consider. Here's what golfing legend Lee Trevino said in an interview. People often tell me, "You're the luckiest guy in the world. I wish I could do what you do." Well, they don't realize they probably could. But you've got to be willing to sacrifice, whether it's as a computer operator, sales executive, or professional golfer. You have to devote a lot of spare moments to the field you've chosen. Of course, that means there are a lot of things you're not going to be able to do, and some of those might be things you enjoy. Maybe you won't be able to go away on weekends, or go camping, or water skiing, or whatever. In golf, there are a lot of players with potential, but they won't sacrifice for their goal. They'd rather quit practicing at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and go have a beer with the gang. "I learned a long time ago," said Lee Trevino, "that the best philosophy in golf is to hit so many balls that your hands get blistered and calloused. If there's daylight, there are golf balls to be hit. That's the best psychology I could ever tell anybody." There's no such thing as a natural touch. Touch is something you create by hitting millions of golf balls. And Lee Trevino ought to know. He's the third all-time money winner in the history of professional golf. Think of your body as a high-powered, superior-engined transportation vehicle, like a Ferrari. What you put in your fuel tank is burned by your high-performance activity, or in the case of low-octane junk food, is deposited in your engine. When you get the urge to stop at a fast food service station, remember your Ferrari deserves better treatment than that. Drive right by and go home for a good nutritious meal or fresh fruit snacks or fresh veggies. When you think of food, think of lean source protein, complex fiber-based carbohydrates, and non-fat sugar-free liquids. To weigh less, we must eat less and exercise more. When we get to our desired weight, we have to continue to eat less and exercise more to maintain the lower weight. For starters, walk twice as much as you have been. In airports, use stairs and avoid standing when using the moving sidewalks and escalators. Walk during lunch breaks. Exercise while watching TV. I exercise every morning for 30 minutes, first thing in the morning, before breakfast. That way I burn calories from last night's dinner, not from what I just ate if I exercised after breakfast. Also, walk in the mornings or evenings and on weekends. And when you go to a store or a mall, park as far away from the entrance as possible. You'll not only save time driving around trying to find a parking place, but you'll burn off unwanted calories during the refreshing round-trip walk. Remember, when the mind talks, the body listens and acts accordingly. The most important conversation you'll ever have is the one you have with yourself at 400 words a minute when you're alone with your thoughts. Like our Olympic athletes, always concentrate your dominant thoughts on the desired results of your fitness program. Write affirmations on a 3x5 card and carry them with you wherever you go. Memorize your goals as if they'd already been accomplished and repeat them silently to yourself when you're driving, walking, or sitting by yourself. Consider recording your own self-talk affirmations in your own voice with soft music in the background. No words have the impact on your subconscious as your own words in your own voice. Here are a few sample affirmations I use for myself to change my habits. My body is healthy, strong, and trim. I'm reaching my desired weight for the rest of my life. I eat only when I'm hungry. I enjoy my daily exercise and fitness program. I'm full of energy, vitality, and enthusiasm. I eat only when I'm hungry, and I eat only what's good for me. My body's flexible, powerful, and aerobically enduring. I take a brisk walk every morning for 30 minutes. I'd rather participate than watch. I'm physically active, and it shows. I like who I see when I look in the mirror. I enjoy being me right now. And finally in this message, let's revisit rule number 4. Once you start a new positive habit pattern, stay away from the old destructive environments. Stay away from delicatessens, fast food drive-thrus, bakeries, ice cream parlors, and buffets, unless they're soup and salad bars only. Remember also, no one succeeds very long in isolation. Winners belong to a winning team. We're going to stick with you for the long term, reinforce your successes, and help you stay on target. What we need most in life is continuing support and reinforcement of other winners with similar goals. Every week, meet before work, after work, or during lunch with one or more role models. Form a network with other health-conscious associates in your local community to reinforce your commitment to your wellness program as well as your business success. In everything you do, think, speak, act, behave, and get the habit of success by association. Your mind and body can't distinguish rehearsal from the main event. It stores as reality whatever you practice. If it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, it probably is becoming a duck, even if it wasn't a duck in the first place. A friend of mine in Australia has a pet osprey, which is a member of the hawk family. It was raised as a chick by a family of ducks. You ought to see it try to swim with its talons churning the water instead of the web feet of its adopted brothers and sisters. It doesn't know it's not a duck. Conversely, if it looks like an eagle, flies like an eagle, acts like an eagle, it will become a member of the eagle family. And if you look and act like a leader, you become a leader. Observation, imitation, repetition, and internalization. you become that to which you're most exposed. Constantly expose yourself to successful individuals whose personal habits match their professional accomplishments. It's the most important thing I've learned in all of my life.